Hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Reflections on Black Mirror, the little side show I've got with my friend Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Where we, as it says, we take an episode of Black Mirror and we have a look at it. Now, for this week, we are moving on to the Netflix-produced episodes. I'm looking forward to doing this episode because I want to see your view on it, because this episode specifically, there's quite a tonal shift in it.
Yeah. This is another one of those episodes which stuck with me. I'm sure we'll get onto it, but it stuck with me because of the concept and how it compares to life today and where life could go quite easily.
It's the easiest... Well, actually, we'll come on to it after, but I was going to say it's the easiest one to say you could see happen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Out of all of them, I think, so far. So, spoilers ahead for Season 3, Episode 1. The episode's called Nosedive. So, as mentioned, and as we've referred to in a couple of episodes, this is the first of the episodes produced by Netflix. Now, I was having a look at it and found an article where Charlie Brooker himself says basically Channel 4 effectively cancelled the show. Do you remember, I think we mentioned it in the last episode, White Christmas, where they were asking him to provide the synopses of the episodes up front and then saying it doesn't feel very Black Mirror type. So he said here, actually, he called it an outrageous decision for the network to ask to see detailed synopses of each episode in advance, adding, when the feedback came, we were told they weren't very Black Mirror and they were no longer going to allocate money for episodes. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? So Netflix bought it for a bid of $40 million for the distributing rights. So it doesn't feel a lot now, does it? Do you think they regret it now?
I think they've done a lot out of it, haven't they? I wonder if Channel 4
Yeah, do you think they regret
it? I wonder if Channel 4 look at it and go, oh, could have kept that. You know, when shows like Big Brother can go on for years and years and years and years, and then something really good like this gets canned, it's, yes.
Do you know, the funny thing is, right, I was looking at this earlier and Big Brother was a show I had in mind as well, that they could spend money on things like that. And some of the shows they do now, you know, each to their own. But I think I think Black Mirror would have been a great show for them. So people were saying because it's on Netflix, it's now got a much bigger budget, which one critic suggests is responsible for the impressive lineup of stars it was going to get. And another critic called this episode the show's most ambitious yet. The funny thing is, one reviewer also commented that this episode contained only American characters, which I found a bizarre comment.
So he's not saying American actors, is he? He's saying American characters.
No, because there's definitely English actors and actresses in it, but it was all American accents, so American characters.
I'm not even sure why that's particularly relevant. You know, I didn't even clock that.
I think people lost the fact that, I think we've said before, it's very gritty, very British. And then this episode specifically is bright, colourful. Anyway, we'll come on to it because there's a couple of things I want to say before we do. This episode premiered on the 21st of October 2016. And as most Netflix shows now, the whole series dropped all at the same time. Now, it stars Bryce Dallas Howard as Lacey and Alice Eve as Naomi. Now, before I get onto the plot, the writers of this I found fascinating. So Brooker created the outline for it, but the show had two writers. Now, one writer wrote the first half of the episode and the other writer wrote the second half of the episode.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Now, the two writers are, the first one is Michael Shurn. Now, you're going to know him as Moe's in The Office. You know Dwight's, is it Dwight? His cousin.
Oh, Dwight's cousin who lives on the farm with him.
And he's created loads of shows as well. But he wrote the first half up to where she rents the car. And Rashida Jones, who was also, she's been in loads of things, but she was also in The Office. She was Karen, you know, from the other branch.
Oh, the one that Jim had a relationship with.
Yeah. She wrote the second half,
How random.
And I found that really interesting that you've got two people writing half an episode each.
It makes you wonder how much planning and, like, was there a handover in the middle and, like, here you go, your turn now, off you go, take the baton. Yeah.
Because you can imagine if they did it to us, right? you're probably right. The first half and it's a gritty, realistic program, and then you give it to me and I then put it on a spaceship somehow. So it's gone from being a realistic show to a comedy in space.
Yeah, I kind of almost like the idea of us not being joined up about it. It's just I write a random story and then you finish it off and see where it gets to.
Dan and I are available for any TV program scripting.
Yeah.
Give us a go.
Please contact our agents.
Yeah. Anyway, on to the plot. So again, we'll go into it and stop me at any point. We could sum it up really quickly by saying in this version of the world, everyone, or if you signed up to the system, everyone is rated out of 5 stars, isn't it? Basically.
Correct, yeah.
So from posts on Instagram, but also through social interactions, not just what you post on online. It's about, you know, you go in and you buy a coffee. If you like that barista, you'll give them 5 stars. So everyone has an app on their phone and it looks just like Instagram where you can post things. So we see her going out for a run. And again, it's quite key in the first few scenes. She's always on her phone, isn't she? And everyone is on their phone.
And it's almost like, I think the way they did that was quite clever because, you know, running and being on your phone at the same time is really difficult. So it's almost like they've taken the you know, the activity which is hardest to be on the phone just to prove that point. But she's so obsessed with looking at it.
That's true, actually. I mean, I don't run, so I wouldn't know how difficult that
would be. It is difficult. It is.
We see her bumping into people, not literally bumping into people, but rating people 5 stars. As they're doing it, the numbers flash up on the screen, don't they? So we can see the scores. Then this bit I found really bizarre. We'll come on to it, I guess, in our summation, but we see her in a bathroom practicing laughing, don't we?
Yeah.
She's practicing a laugh, and that becomes apparent why, because it is like a fake laugh. She's trying to practice how she's going to come across to people, isn't she?
Yeah, correct, yeah.
But this scene also introduces another eye device. So they've got a thing about eyes, and I think it's because I don't like people sticking things into eyes. It's the device where you can look at someone and that tells you what that person's score is, doesn't it?
Yeah, correct. So it tells you their score and also almost you're able to view that person's profile to get information up and little conversation points.
So again, it kind of links back. It's very similar tech to we've seen in other episodes. And again, just as some other scene, she goes to a coffee shop and everyone's got their head down in their phones. She rates the barista rates her. And we see a couple of scenes of how she's practicing being overly nice to people. So again, it's just that fake, well, you're kind of getting an impression that she's not being herself because she wants to get the scores. We see her get a post that only gets 4 stars from someone she knows, and that, I think it's her friend Naomi, and that not upsets her, but distracts her while she's at work. This is when it starts then getting to some interesting things. We see there's a guy in the office who's bringing drinks round, isn't he? And they're kind of not ostracizing him as such, but nobody wants to talk to him because he's currently, his score is only 3.1. And I think it was because of a breakup, wasn't it?
It was because of a breakup, and he was obviously trying to redeem himself. But just to go back just a little bit, going back to the cafe that you just mentioned, the other interesting bit I found on there was she almost set up a photo to go onto her Instagram or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And she takes a bite of the biscuit and places it in like a right place for the perfect photo, and then she spits the biscuit out because she obviously doesn't want it or she doesn't like it.
Yes.
So again, it's just portraying an image that isn't true just to kind of conform. And you know, Instagram is like that today, isn't it, with people's meals and taking pictures of food and setting up, like, you know, a picture of a drink in a good background and getting that perfect image, even though it's not necessarily the truth, the real version of what's happening.
And it's funny because we're going on to that now. And we know people, and I've done it in the past, we know people that love putting photos of their food on an Instagram. I always know that behind that picture, there's somebody like a partner, a husband, a wife, a sister, a cousin, a friend waiting with their knife and fork, just wanting to tuck into that food while the person's taking the picture. Then we start seeing some other intricacies of this rating system. So she's trying to buy a house because she lives with her brother and she's trying to buy a house, but it's too expensive. But the estate agent tells her she could get a 20% discount via the Prime Influencers program, but she needs to be 4.5 rated and she's currently 4.2. So again, we're seeing this. It's not just a scoring system. It's about how it's affecting you, like the bloke in the office where people are starting to shun him. She could get 20% discount on a house if she was rated 4.5.
And there was also, I can't remember if it happened at this point or not, or whether it's a bit later, but there was the guy that couldn't get into the office because he was below 2.5.
That's him later, yeah.
Was that the smoothie guy? Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't clock it was the same guy.
Because he's begging her, isn't he? So like, I can't get in, can you let me in? Yeah. And then at that point, she ignores him, doesn't she? This bit I really enjoyed because you kind of seen it now on social media, but she then goes to, it's like an agency, isn't it? To try work out how to improve her score. You see her reputation ultimately being analysed to try get her up to the 4.5. And it shows her the rating in the previous 24 hours. It shows who's rated her, how they've rated her, the times of day, her sphere of influence. And the analyst tells her that to get to 4.5 quickly, she needs to get interactions from quality people. And, oh, and this is where I've got it. She then bumps into the guy from earlier who's now on a 2.4 and he can't get into the office. So there absolutely would be agencies set up, wouldn't there?
Oh, without doubt. And like you said, that kind of exists now, even like on a smaller scale with like our social media accounts for our podcast, right? We get people contact us to see if they can promote us and do some analytics and boost us. So it'd be a whole new extreme, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I thought that was fascinating. So she needs to get quality interactions. So there's a friend of hers, well, an old school friend of hers who's very popular. She's a 4.8. Throughout the episode up till now, you kind of see her looking at a post because this friend is living the perfect Instagrammer's lifestyle, isn't she? Got an attractive fiance out on the beaches. So she posts something, doesn't she? She posts that she's got...
She's got like a teddy bear from which has an emotional tie to both of them, doesn't it? A nostalgic tie to both of them to get her attention.
Yeah, Mr. Rags, I think it's called. So she posts a picture of that and her friend gives it 5 stars. And then shortly after, her friend calls her up to say she's getting married and that she wants her oldest friend, to attend a wedding. And not only that, she wants her to be a maid of honour. And she tells her that specifically all the guests are going to be 4.7 and above. The interesting thing here is I think she has an argument with her brother. He says that basically this Naomi was horrible to her at school, bullied her and made her feel awful. But obviously she sees this as a chance to getting in with the big scorers.
Yeah.
She argues with her brother and he says, I missed the U before the whole ranking thing. Because you don't have to be in this system, but I'm assuming there are certain things you can't do in life.
But I got the impression he got his ranking system up by gaming. He did a lot of interactions on gaming, didn't he? He wasn't as high as her on the rating system, but he was content, and for all intents and purposes, he was real. Like he was the one that was down to earth, wasn't he? And to kind of highlight the difference between someone who's gone over the top and someone who still lives in the real world.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because there's obviously levels. And in this argument, she also says she never bought a man home because her brother was 3.0 and she didn't want to be embarrassed. She then downvotes him because she gets so angry and he does the same to her.
Yeah.
So she's so angry then that she goes out and she bumps into a 4.8 who then downvotes her for bumping into her, gets taken to the airport. And the taxi driver gives her a 1 star, which then drops her down to a 4.1. I think he gives her a 4.1 because she has like an annoying phone call with her friend.
Yeah, she has that really fake phone call, doesn't she?
Yeah.
I don't know who you just mentioned, but there was also a taxi driver that turned up and went away, wasn't there? Who also downrated her. So
her score's plummeting at this point. She's down to a 4.1. And this is ultimately, I think, where the episode really kicks off, doesn't it? She goes to the flight desk to find her flight is cancelled and she's unable to get another flight. The attendant says there's one possible seat on a later flight. However, it's only for people of 4.2 and above and she's now under. And I'm laughing because she then gets into an argument with her. We see everyone in the queue behind her start rating her, downvoting her.
Yeah.
And they call security and security invokes a 1-point penalty on her for 24 hours. And this was brilliant, wasn't it? To ensure she calms down, basically. And then to make it worse, she's put on a double damage program. Yeah. So defused the situation straight away because he put a 1-point penalty on her so she couldn't argue anymore.
Yeah.
Found that fascinating.
Yeah, and you could kind of see how restrained she was at that point, couldn't you? Because there was a few things that she said, which she slipped up on. But yeah. it was kind of you could see that she was almost through gritted teeth trying to behave herself so she doesn't go down. And the whole double damage thing is, I thought was a fantastic ad.
It's like a video game, isn't it?
Yeah.
So by this point now, I think she's just around the 3 mark. So yeah, point penalty for 24 hours and double damage for 24 hours. She then tries to hire a car and finds the only car she can get is from the, quote, super saver fleet. And she gets given an old car, which when she hears it, she goes, she didn't even realize this was still around. So she goes to find it and it's a terrible looking car, dirty, old, dusty. Oh yeah, that's right. Because also the key thing is she's obviously trying to get to her friend's wedding. So it would have been like a 3 hour flight, but now it's going to be like a 6 or 7 hour. Yeah. But as she's driving, her car runs out and she needs to charge it. It's an electric car and the connector doesn't fit. So she goes to the guy at the counter and he says basically he doesn't have a charger. It's so old that he doesn't have a converter. And just as she's about to go, he gives her 2 stars. And when she says to him why, he goes, it wasn't a meaningful encounter.
Yeah. So he's doing it the other way, isn't it? He's almost doing it for realistic voting system.
He's
honest. That scene resonated for me quite a lot, just for personal reasons, because as you know, I've gone to an electric car and I've had an electric hire car recently while mine was getting repaired. And I felt like I was in that exact situation she was, where I took it to a public charging place 2 hours from home and the bloody thing wouldn't charge because it wasn't on the right software. And I was there all night, couldn't get any help from anyone. So I was watching that and almost like, oh my God, I've experienced this. This makes me feel a bit, this is a bit too close to home.
Yeah, so the thing with her is it's an old car, the converter wasn't, the charger wasn't compatible, and the guy didn't have a converter. So you see her asking everyone and no one's helping her. So at this point, she starts trying to hitch a ride, but she's now under the 3 score. She's a 2.8, so people start ignoring her. Then a truck pulls up with a woman who, an older woman who's 1.4, and at first she refuses to go in, but the trucker asks her why she is so low, and she mentions being penalised for yelling. And the trucker asks her how she felt when she yelled. And sorry, by this point, she's obviously accepted the ride. And yeah, the trucker says, how did you feel when you yelled? And I think she says she felt good, didn't she? I think the point is she's trying to say at that moment in time, what was her gut? How did she feel within herself? The trucker reveals she used to be a 4.6, but her husband got cancer. And she said that even though she 5-starred every doctor, the cancer, quote, didn't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
She then heard about some experimental treatment, but she said her husband was a 4.3 and they gave a bed to someone who was 4.4. So in that bit alone, isn't it? There's so much kind of to unpack there too, isn't there?
Yeah. And that, you know, secondary to her brother, I think this person, the trucker, is the next real person that she experiences. And all of a sudden, her behaviour almost started to change a little bit, didn't it, on that journey? Because she began to say things which, like, she was initially hesitant, and then the trucker would go, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to rate you. I'm not going to send you a rating. So then she was a bit more free to speak. So that scene, I thought, was quite good. And the trucker was a 1.4, wasn't she? And I think initially she was reluctantly, even though this trucker was going to solve her problem and get her from A to B, she was initially going to turn her away because the rating was a 1.4.
For me, it was the line about where she says she was rating all the doctors 5 stars, but the cancer didn't care about that. That I thought was quite a powerful line.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and the fact her husband didn't get the bed because it was a 4.3. And then she said from that moment, she just didn't care anymore and just did what she wanted to. And she says to her, turns out my friends didn't appreciate honesty and she felt great shedding them. Which again, like I said, very, very honest.
Yeah.
A few more things happened along the way. And Naomi, her friend who's getting married, says she can no longer come as she's a 2.6. She doesn't want her at the wedding anymore because she's gone down to a 2.6. When Lacey says, you said you wanted your oldest friend there, Naomi admits that on an analysis that she had, having a low 4 at the wedding would have got her a bounce to get her up closer to the 5. Which again, it's just, that's quite brutal, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, horrendous. And you think, you know what, you know, her friend's been travelling through the night, and then to say, actually, I don't want you here because your rating's a bit too low, like, it just highlighted the fact it wasn't a friendship. They were using each other at that point, weren't they, to boost their scores.
And that's the key thing, because at the time, you know, you do think it is brutal for her, but then, like the guy, like you just said, she's doing this only to try and get her score up, right?
Yeah.
But it's the fact that it looked bad because at the wedding, they're all going to be the highest scores. And it's almost like the social class system, I guess, it's being similar to there, isn't it?
I think this is kind of, this kind of conformity and this kind of social classes, is, I guess, what you were trying to say, is kind of, at the moment, I feel like the world has a bit of it when it comes to fashion and like feeling underdressed and overdressed and being in those environments where you don't feel like you've dressed up enough, or being in those environments where you feel like you're overdressed. And it's kind of a bit similar to that, isn't it? It's about the fitting in with everyone else.
But it was this next bit which follows on exactly from what you just said and fits in exactly with that. So she doesn't care at this point. She's so upset, so obsessed, because it's clear that she was hanging on to the fact that she could be friends with this Naomi again. She gate crashes a wedding, but the venue, and this is what links into what you're saying, the venue is patrolled by guards, right? And there was a sign saying that the minimum rating allowed to get in there was a 3.8. So, and I think whilst it's always probably alluded to, that's the first time you saw that, a place was only available to you depending on your score. And I think that's kind of what you were saying.
Yeah.
She continues, she has to go round, and there's all sorts of funny things, isn't it? I think at one point she gets like a little like, what do you call it?
The quad bikes.
She falls into a muddy lake, which basically the next few minutes they're an attempt to show her getting really disheveled. So she falls into a lake, her clothes get filthy, she has to climb over a wall. So her clothes are torn, her makeup's run. And then we see her sneak towards the wedding. And I found what was fascinating about the wedding was, even while the wedding's going on, the bride herself and the guests were just all on their phones, weren't they? Rating people. So Lacey sneaks in. She manages to get a microphone and she starts giving a speech about how long she's known Naomi. Naomi sends her husband to try remove her, but he doesn't want to at first because he doesn't want to look bad and potentially be downvoted.
Yeah.
Lacey then starts laying into her and her husband, and the score plummets and it actually goes below one. And she then gets escorted out. She eventually is apprehended. She's escorted out, arrested, has her eye implant removed. And this is the end now. She's placed in a cell and she sees a man in another cell opposite her. And that was it. Oh, she instinctively, because he annoys her, doesn't he? They kind of rub each other in the wrong way. And she gestures to downvote him, but she doesn't have a phone and she doesn't have that implant anymore. But her muscle memory tries to downvote him. And then it finishes with, I found quite an interesting ending, is that they basically just keep insulting each other. But I think it's because they now know they can be aggressive or let their feelings out without punishment, basically. Yeah.
And I think that was actually quite a powerful scene. In isolation, it's really random and doesn't make sense. But with the rest of the episode, that was almost like a release, wasn't it, from the world that she was in. And the ironic thing, it was almost like freeing herself, even though she was in a prison cell. It's almost like she was freer in that scene, in that cell, than she was the entire episode, because she's no longer trying to conform. She's no longer trying to impress. And it was all also the happiest that she looked the entire thing. And, you know, she was obviously, she wasn't, I don't know, I kind of got the impression she was obviously dressed, you know, just in like underwear and stuff like that and looked like crap, and that didn't matter anymore, and doesn't matter what she was saying to the other guy. And I think he was enjoying it as well. I think he was felt like he was in the same place as well. It was a release for him. So I thought that was quite a powerful ending.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because you've got a prison scenario from White Christmas where it definitely wasn't pleasant, but for these two, like you said, that it's almost a shedding of all the layers and the restrictions that they've lived to. And I think what was good is, because the last 5 minutes of the program, it was almost, I don't know if it's meant to or it's just how they portray it, it's almost like she's descending into madness, isn't it? But ironically, she's the only one who is actually becoming, what's the word? He's coming out of that madness, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed it, and I'm assuming this was deliberate as well, but all kind of the scenes or the scenery, which were, let's call them fake, and fake Instagram or whatever it were really light and fluffy and kind of like seen through a filter. And then the bits of the scenery where it wasn't going so well, right, was all dark and
I hadn't picked that.
Was a bit more real. So the bit where she's, you know, looking around, looking for a new home and the office, and I think the only time where it kind of darkened a bit is where she was arguing with her brother in the apartment.
That's right, actually, yes.
And that was like her home where she wasn't trying to show off. And then obviously as the episode goes on and things start going wrong, it gets dark and she's in a dark lorry. And the next time it really brightens up again is the wedding, because now we're in Instagram mode. We're back at the wedding, even though she's gone a bit loopy. And then it returns to dark in the cell. And I thought that was quite clever, because actually on Instagram today, filters are used all over the place to make photos look good and make it look better than it actually is. So it was quite interesting to watch that go through the episode.
Yeah, and I think filters are even in Teams now, Microsoft Teams, I think it is.
Yeah, as you can see from my video, I've gone for the really looking tired bags under my eyes filter.
Just for that, I might release the screenshot. No, I hadn't picked that up, but now you're saying it. Yeah, because as soon as you started saying it, I was thinking the scenes with her brother were definitely darker, weren't they? A more like realistic colour. Because this is the brightest episode so far, even more, you know, the Waldo moment is a funny episode because you've got a bright, colourful character. But this, it just feels like it is crayon pastel overload, isn't it? It's just so bright, so vibrant.
Yeah.
But what do you think, though, about...
This show is experiencing technical difficulties.
Right, there might be a weird little jump in the last bit you just heard to this, because we've had... Well, when I say we, I'm being polite. Dan had technical difficulties, and... It always feels weird when something like that happens during an episode like Black Mirror or something about that, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I'm a little bit disappointed you gave me a 1.2 because of that interaction.
I was actually going to say I'm actually downvoting you, but I was actually going to give you like a 2.5, but yeah, 1.2 maybe. I think I was just about to ask you what you thought about the actual central theme of the programme, though, about the rating. I mean, it feels like it could be something we could see, right?
I think it's in some elements, I think maybe not the whole scoring to be accepted into practical things like work and weddings and buildings and stuff like that. But we in social media today, we definitely have a conformity where people are trying to maybe be sometimes they're not, or trying to give the impression that they're happy. And, you know, I think because I'm quite interested in mental health and the things you should do and shouldn't do. One of the things are, if you're feeling down or lonely or whatever, you shouldn't look through Instagram, because it's just a load of fake, the good side of people's lives, and makes you feel like you're missing out. And
necessarily the real thing of their lives.
It's not the real thing. And how many times have you looked at someone's holiday snaps on Instagram and go, oh, that looked really good. And they go, no, it weren't. It was stressful. Family fell out. I argued with my partner. Didn't speak to my girlfriend all week. And you're like, well, that wasn't on your Instagram. when you're having a beer on the beach, that didn't seem to include. We almost need like a real Instagram for the negative side.
We said that, didn't we, on the Be Right Back episode, where they used the social media footprint to recreate someone. And it's like, yeah, nobody ever puts, like you said, the fact that the holiday rained every day, and so they were in a foul mood. Yeah. And yeah, nobody ever puts that bird, you know, did its business on them as they were walking to a business meeting. I agree with you, but I think, like I said, we are in an element of it now. So the whole influencer thing, they are getting famous because they are advertising brands, and because they advertise brands, they get picked up by the brands, which make them more famous, which makes people follow them, which keeps their fame going. Purely because for some, you know, they started off just constantly talking about a brand in the hope that they might get picked up by that. And it's just bizarre, isn't it? But this took it another level. But like you said about not letting people into the building, by both at the wedding where they were being armed guards to stop people, but also the guy who couldn't even get into his place of work. So it makes you think that at a certain level, then you can't even do certain tasks.
I wonder, like, we talked about fashion before, but I guess, you know, money is another one, isn't it? And when you have a lot of money or don't have a lot of money, that also introduces barriers in maybe a similar way to what this social media score does here. I guess it is like a currency, isn't it, with social media scoring?
Yeah. And it is funny, the three characters who ultimately didn't care about it seem to be the three that were happiest. So the brother, the guy in the charging station, and the trucker. And you compare that to the fact that she was practicing laughing in the mirror to that point where she was trying to get the right laugh to, I guess, to not make it annoying, but to make people like her. It's just sad.
That scene is also quite interesting as well, because you see that people would, you know, when they're in a moment or trying to take a selfie or whatever, they will take like 20 photos to get the exact right one. And that kind of compares to that bit where she's just practicing a laugh to make sure she sounds okay.
Again, when you mentioned it, I completely forgot the bit there where she bought the biscuit to not eat it.
Just for a post. You know, you get to a point where your whole life is fake and you're pretending to be something you're not. And it's just, yeah, it's not for me. But I would naturally be a 4.9 anyway, so I don't think I'd have to worry about it too much.
It's funny, we're giving scores to these episodes, so are we just as bad?
Yeah.
I think the fascinating thing about it is that it's evolved to not just being the posts, it is about the social interactions, because that could be really dangerous, so in the real world, right? In the sense of you don't like someone, you're going to downvote them.
Yeah, there's that, and, you know, obviously leads into bullying as well. But just as you said social interaction, I forgot a scene which we hadn't mentioned yet. It was a scene where she was in the lift with that woman, colleague at work, and as they're standing there, there's an awkward silence while they're looking up each other's profile, aren't they? And then she goes, "Oh, how's your dog?" And then they start talking about the dog because she's seen it in a profile. So the whole getting to know you thing seems to have disappeared, that, you know, that element of small talk, and then you remember that next time around when you see that person. You know, if you tell me you're doing something at the weekend and then I ask you about it because I've remembered you told me that, it seems like that element has disappeared.
Yeah. I liked it. I think I liked it, and I think it stuck with me because, so it was out in 2016. I probably saw it maybe 2017, 2018. Back then, it was just as appropriate as it is now, but everything, there is the whole likes, the hearts on the social media. And I think the owner of Instagram at the time, after this episode came out and saw it, did do a trial of hiding the likes of posts.
Oh, did he?
To see what that would do. Obviously, it didn't lead to anything because we still got it, right?
Yeah.
Because I think if you take that away, you're taking away a lot of the motivation for people.
Well, I guess, would they still get a notification that it's been liked, but it's private to you? Is that what he did? Or did he just say you can't like photos?
I'm going to guess it's hidden. I'm going to guess you can see it as the owner.
I do wonder if, like, you know, you took away the like and comment. Just say you took away the like and comment functionality from Instagram, whether people would still be inclined to post without the validation that it's a good post. You know, if you get no validation about what your social media account does, do you stop posting?
Yeah, I think you would, because you are, for whatever reason it is, like for us, it's a podcast. You are putting a post out there because you want it seen and you want someone to interact with it, right?
Yeah.
And there can be, I mean, we've done it. So for this podcast and you and us for the Just Football podcast, right? When a tweet gets a bit of traction, there is a bit of a buzz, isn't there?
Yeah, but there is. And it's nice seeing pop-ups on your phone. But yeah. I do wonder, without that validation, whether you would just stop.
I think it's all those little bits, like the tone, like the little bubble that appears, like the little message. It's all that addictiveness. It's that distraction, isn't it? It's that, look, somebody's seen your post, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe that it's supposed to then make you interact with it again. I did see some other things about this. So the original idea, have you ever seen Brewster's Millions?
No, I haven't, no.
So the original idea was of a comedy similar to Brewster's Millions, focused on a high status person trying to reduce their ranking in 24 hours. Later, Brooker then wrote either a 3 or 4 page outline for the episode, wanting to be comedic, like a dark comedy. And this version took inspiration from 1987 film Planes, Trains and Automobiles, in which character is on a journey. So this, have you seen that film?
I recognise the name, but I haven't seen it, no.
This does have the feel of Planes, Trains and Automobile, about someone who starts off having a good day and then the day just gets progressively worse. Tone of the episode less bleak and more comedic than other Black Mirror episodes, while the ending significantly more positive. I can't remember if this is one, if you had this, so I'm going to leave this for now just in case it's you had this point you mentioned before you started. But when Bryce Dallas Howard watched Black Mirror for the first time, she said she had a nervous breakdown, which she recorded on video. In it, she said that, "I just took a really bad nosedive." A year later, she met the director, showed him the video, and that's why they named the episode what they did. So,
That's interesting, because I did think it was a bit of a weird title for an episode. Like, when I remember when you, because I always remember this episode, but I remember when you were saying, "Oh, you were watching Nosedive next." I was like, "Nosedive? What was it? Is that a film? It must be an episode I can't remember." But I never put two and two together. It was this episode.
Well, I just assumed it was called Nosedive because her score took a tumble.
Which I assume it is, but I thought it had something to do with planes.
but they said it's because of that reaction she had to it. So
she played that part very well, didn't she?
Yeah.
I thought she was really good.
Yeah, I think she's great into it. You really do see her, like I said, it is just her having a bad day in some way, but you do that progression from that cheery over the top to at the end. I mean, she's got a knife in her hand, hasn't she, when she's giving the speech? She takes a knife
and starts walking around a bit menacingly, doesn't she?
Yeah.
At that point, you know, she's proper lost it, hasn't she?
And
at the point of no return.
Any other thoughts on the episode in general?
Not thoughts. As I said, I thought it was a really good episode just because of how it compares to Instagram and social media today. And I think that's why it stuck with me from years ago when I first watched it. And you know what? That whole social media scoring and allowing you to do things, I don't think we're a million miles away from that. I feel like that it could become a currency type thing. Maybe not to the extreme it wasn't in that episode, but I can see it. I can see we're not a million miles away from it.
The thing is, though, why not? Because you've just reminded me now, the scene in the airport where she's arguing and they call security, but he doesn't have to be, you know, he doesn't have to threaten with violence or arrest. He just docks a point off her. And that was enough to get her in line.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, in a world where you're not worried about being arrested, you're more worried about getting double damage and a point docked for 24 hours.
Yeah. I also thought it was interesting as well. You know, when she sometimes would give Naomi like a 5-star rating after a conversation, she's like sitting there really nervously, isn't she, waiting for like a 5-star rating to come back again. And again, that anxiety, you can kind of see people using their phones today, like, you know, when they WhatsApp message someone that goes double blue tick and you don't get a response, you're like, why haven't I got a response, why haven't they acknowledged me yet? And that is definitely prevalent in the world today.
That is a really good point, but I think it's even more so though in the world of this episode, because it's like, if I've given you a 5 rating, I'm going to want you to return that favour, because then why would I rate you again when I next see you?
Yeah, exactly. And then that rating then becomes fake, right? Because then just to give you a 5-star rating, you're going to feel like you have to give me a 5, you probably won't, but you feel, it might be part of you feels like you have to give me a 5-star rating, even though you didn't feel that interaction was worth 5 stars. So when you get a whole, again, points towards a class thing, doesn't it? It's
like most rating things anyway. I reckon, let's do a study. You probably, the only stars that get used are either the 1-star or the 5-star. I think you could get rid of 2, 3, 4, because most people are either going to really love something or they're going to want to really slate something.
So it's
1 or 5. But
agreed. Do you want to hear about a couple of other cool things?
Yeah, go for it.
So the first one was around the Easter egg, and I think we've talked about Easter eggs before, and I've always really liked when they link episodes together for one of these, similar to what Marvel does. Marvel does it very well, doesn't it, in their films?
Yeah.
There is a bit where she's screening, going through social media, and it comes up where Michael Callow, who is the Prime Minister from the first episode, I forget what it's called now, National Anthem.
National Anthem.
And the social media post reads something along the lines of, "Oh, I got kicked out of the zoo again," which is obviously reference to him doing naughty things with an animal. So I thought that was quite funny.
See, I didn't see that, but when I read it, it actually made me chuckle because you can imagine him sitting there writing it in a giggly way, which actually makes me feel a bit better because you kind of really worried about him at the end of that episode. So now you can see he's having a laugh about it. So it's okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Actually, sorry, Charlie Brooker said that's his favourite Easter egg in the whole of this series.
Yeah, it's a funny one. It's right down my street and right, you know, my sense of humour. I like it. And the other cool thing I found is I read, and I fact checked this, there is a game based on this episode called, I think it's called Nosedive, actually. And I looked it up, and you can actually download an app and play Nosedive, the board game.
Is it still available, is it?
Still there. So maybe we can have a game. Me and you can have a game and see if we can get our social scores up. But it's essentially that you get given a social score and you have to do things to boost or get your scores down. I don't know to what aspect. I only found that shortly before this game, but I might download it just to have a see what it looks like.
Well, we might need a listener. I did see it. So it was released on 25th November 2018. The game requires 3 to 6 players. And designed to last for 45 minutes. Available on Android or iOS. It initially assigns each player a social score. In the initial lifestyle phase, players draw cards which have ratings between 1 and 5 stars, such as a 1-star card called a 6-minute lunch break. They tactically assign them to stacks and then each player selects a stack. So, but yeah, it's a cool little tie-in, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is good.
Do you know, there was another thing that they did when the episode released. I didn't say it because I wasn't sure if that linked in. Netflix also released a tongue-in-cheek app called Rate Me, and the app allowed users to rate people by their Twitter handle and view their own rating and the ratings of others. So that was launched at the time. Yeah. See, I love stuff like that.
I guess, is it not still there or is it gone?
Again, I didn't look it up. I just saw that's what they did. But I think stuff like that is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is good.
There was a couple of other Easter eggs. One, again, that linked to the National Anthem. And again, I didn't pick it up. I read it. Oh, there was a scene, isn't it, where she's hitchhiking. Doesn't she hitchhike with some fans of a sci-fi show called The Sea of Tranquility? And in that National Anthem episode, a special effects expert mentions having worked on that show. That's a nice little tie-in. There is one for a later episode, so I won't mention that. But something I spotted, and it was just a really random thing. When, because her and her brother, you know, looking to move out, and she's got moving boxes in the room, and it says U-Schlepp instead, because you've got, in America, there's a brand called U-Haul. But yeah, they had U-Schlepp, which I found, I thought was funny. But before we get on to summing the rating and stuff, tech wise it was, I guess, the main thing is the apps. You've got the contact lens, but did you also see the funky thing when she was looking at buying a house? The agent put a holographic image of her and a fake boyfriend sort of when they were cuddling and stuff behind the breakfast counter or whatever,
and she really that really turned her eye, didn't it? Because at that point she was in it. Yeah, no, I did see that. That was very clever.
I guess it's almost like it was a live version of Instagram, because it was a life, I guess, that she wanted.
Yeah.
And she was looking at it. So.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if when she came out onto the street, on the big billboard outside was her picture with that guy.
I don't remember that.
At least I think it was her.
Very clever, but, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was all very good. But, you know, good sales technique, isn't it, to show them what they could have. Like, the guy's got literally nothing to do with the house.
Yeah.
The house doesn't get the guy, but obviously it makes a fantasy.
Right. Anything else about the episode?
No, I think we've covered it quite sufficiently.
So, the important thing, and it's funny on an episode like this, what's the score?
Well, we're scoring things out of 10, aren't we? Where they were scoring things out of 5.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to give it a 9.
9. Wow. Okay.
9 dead on. Yeah. I think it puts it a bit lower than the other episodes we've watched. But I think it's still high.
Second. Oh, no, that's my score. Sorry. Hold on. That's my
score. Yeah, you haven't been as generous as me.
No. That makes it your joint third. All right. So it ties with the entire history of you.
Oh, does it? Yeah. I think that's fair. I think I put it on that level.
I was mulling between a 7 and 8. I really liked it. I did like it. I don't know if the fact that it was a cheerier episode. This is going to sound bad. I don't know if that didn't appeal as much to me. Definitely the second half was better. I think I'm going to go with an 8. I really enjoyed it. I think it's fascinating because it is still quite, not it's not realistic in the sense it happens now, but we are in a world where we are rating each other. I'll give it 8. 8's a good score. I don't have to defend that.
I wasn't asking you to defend this. I'm just
arguing with myself. Actually, do you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to go 8.2.
Okay.
No, I can't, because then that makes it better than that. Leave it as 8.
Okay. I'm glad we got to our final decision.
Before we go, actually, I just want to shout out the chaps from Seismic Cinema. Actually, because I've had a couple of messages from them in the past saying they enjoy the series. And literally just before we started recording, got James Patterson at Mr. Patterson Comp on Twitter saying, James from Seismic Cinema here. I'm absolutely loving your pods on the Black Mirror episode. So yeah, that was nice to see. And ironically, I liked it as well.
Yeah,
it's on social media.
Maybe James can give us some stars and ratings to boost us. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, cheers, James, and the rest of the crew there. But it is funny, isn't it, that we can make jokes like that because it is what we do on social media. It is funny. So anything else before we go?
No, nothing for me. Good episode. Enjoyed talking about it because I think it is an interesting conversation topic.
And you get the next episode when we do it, and that is called Playtest. Take it easy, and we'll see you for the next episode of Casting Reflections on Black Mirror.
If I want your opinion, I will give it to you. Come on, check what we've got, 'cause you need it. Don't make us get a spoiler.